Opinions expressed in this episode are personal. They do not necessarily reflect the views of this streaming platform.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Be Diverse. I am your host, Andrew Stout. This episode is dedicated to all my loved ones who have supported me through this journey. As you all know, in a lot of my episodes, I talk a lot about leadership. I feel like it's so important. Today, I want to do something interesting. I wanted to go into the accounting phase of business because I feel it is important in every phase of a company. But I wanted to see how important it was in as far as the accounting industry. So I thought I would bring on somebody who I feel is top notch in this area. She knows a lot. And her name is Amanda Adams. So today, again, our topic is accounting and accountability. Amanda Adams, she's a CPA that fell in love with accounting before she knew all the exciting possibilities the career held. It started when she realized she loved making simple math problems with the numbers on a clock. For Amanda, once the day-to-day data entry transformed into a love that she desired, she decided she wanted to share accounting with others. From teaching clients about financial statements to mentoring staff about the joy of accounting, it's something that she's truly loved. When you work with Amanda, you'll see how much she enjoys her clients, helping her clients save tax, implement policies, and streamline their accounting processes. Amanda believes in building relationships and trust with people around her, including clients, coworkers. Family is everything to Amanda, of course. She and her husband have 3 children and 4 dogs. They love cheering on the Red Raiders every chance that they get. Guns up. Amanda is a Terry Fox Foundation scholarship recipient and is most fluent in accounting for construction and professional service sectors. I've met Amanda quite a while back. We've had an opportunity to converse and chit-chat. And one of the things I noticed right away is that she's one of the nicest people that anybody could come in contact with. So I was lucky to connect with her, and we're lucky to have her on today. Welcome to the show, Amanda. It's so great to have you on today.
Thank you so much. Most people would not describe me as the nicest person, so I really appreciate that compliment.
You know what? Some people will say, yes, I agree with you. Some people will think some people are nice. Some people don't think some people are nice. I'm sure that there's some people that don't think that I'm nice, and that's okay. I stick with the ones that I think that I'm nice and the ones that believe in me, and that's the most important. In my mind, you are super nice, so the other ones, it's their loss.
Thank you for that, Andrew. I really appreciate that.
No problem. How are things with you in your world?
Oh my goodness. In my world, things are crazy. Like you said, I have a husband, 3 kids. We're running 2 businesses. We have a kid who just started college, a kid who's a senior in high school, an 8th grader. Our world is busy, crazy, and just doing our best to survive. We're hanging on and enjoying the ride.
That must be very exciting, the ones at college and stuff like that. So have they decided where they want to go? Or
okay, in my bio, my intro, we're Red Raiders at heart. So Texas Tech University is really important to us. It's on my earrings today. Sorry, listeners, you won't be able to get to see those. But we are big supporters. We live locally here. And so that's where our son went. Our second son, that probably won't be his choice, but our first, he definitely stuck with being a Red Raider.
Nice. That's super cool. And I love the fact that you guys are into college football as well. I am a crazy football nut and I love college football. And one of the things I love is watching different games. And then when it comes to the NFL draft, and seeing, well, I remember watching that guy play for in that game against O, and then you have that familiarity, and they're just trying to, they're playing for fun, they're playing for, some of them have a dream, not every one of them is going to have that dream fulfilled, but they're just enjoying their time in college. And I also love the pep band stuff. I just love, you turn on a college game and you hear the pep bands, and it's just so inspirational to me to hear those bands playing and everybody singing along with the pep band songs and the cheer songs. It's just, I love it.
That is one of the greatest things about being from Texas. Friday Night Lights, it's a real thing here. We really enjoy our football. We enjoy other sports too, but we really do enjoy our football. And singing the fight songs and doing those things. Homecoming, it was something I discussed with somebody else recently back in September. They were like, y'all do these crazy things to celebrate. And I'm like, we really do. It's so much fun though.
And that sounds amazing. So I'm so glad that everything is going well for Red Raiders, as you say, and hope that they finish off the season well. I know the bowl season's coming up too, so hopefully they're in a bowl game, and that'll be fun for you guys. Before we begin, I mentioned to you before we recorded that I always have a fun question to ask my guests to get things going. It's always a surprise. Are you ready for yours?
No, not really. It made me really anxious, but let's get to it. Hopefully it's not tough
one. It is always fun, and I'm sure you will do just great at it. My question to you is, what is something that you could do today that you were not capable of doing a year ago?
Ooh, something I can do today I wasn't capable of doing a year ago. There are so many things. Does it need to be personal or professional?
It could be either one. You can give me two things. It's totally up to you. There's no right or wrong answer. That's what's so fun about these.
Okay. So back to the homecoming conversation. I made mums for the first time, which in Texas is a huge thing for homecoming. You make these big, elaborate mums with ribbon and garland and all sorts of things. And I made two this year, one for a girl my son is dating and one for my daughter.
Nice.
Actually, I made three this year and one for my daughter's boyfriend. So I made three mums and I had never really done that before. So I learned something new.
Nice. Were they hard to make or?
No, but being a perfectionist and making sure everything lines up and doing something you've never done, it was a little more than I thought it was going to be.
I'm happy that you were able to do that. It sounds like something that you were wanting to do for a while. And I think we always have these things where we want to try them, but we're not sure. And then when we try it, we're like, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And you cap yourself on the shoulder and say, hey, I did it. So that's great that you tried it. And I'm sure that the ones you gave to, I'm sure each one of them loved it.
They did. They were super grateful. So it was a great experience all around.
Thank you for having fun with me. Like I said, there's never any wrong or right answer. I just love to have those questions in the beginning. I feel like it just starts things off so easily and fun at the beginning. So thanks for having fun with me today. Why don't we start off with you telling us a little bit about you, your story, and your why?
Ooh, my story. So again, I'm married. I always hate to have to give my husband credit. He was my boyfriend at the time and he hadn't filed his taxes. So we marched down to the local IRS office and I was like, hey, we're here to do his taxes. And the woman was like, ma'am, that's not how this works. And she gave me all of the documents, all of the forms, everything. And she was like, here you go. And I went home and figured out how to do his taxes on my own with no experience. I had never seen a W-2 before. I had never seen so many of the documents and the forms, the IRS forms here in the U.S. And so it was such a challenge, a puzzle, and it was one that I found I was good at. I actually got to the bottom of the form and the number was negative. I thought I did something wrong. That means you're getting a refund if you are not aware. And so I took it to a chain tax prep place and I was like, hey, help me. I did this wrong. And they offered me a job on the spot. They were like, hey, do you want to come and work for us? And I was like, no, this was, and if you guys have ever tried to do that with IRS manuals, it's not fun at all. Mm-hmm. And I went through a training and it really jump-started my career. So that's where I started. Then we had kids and I didn't go to work full-time. I didn't go to school full-time. I went to school as a non-traditional student after we had kids. And I thought accountants only did taxes. And so that's what I was going to do. I had experience doing it. I loved it. But then I started seeing that there's this gap between companies and their tax accountants and making decisions. And I really wanted to branch out and fill that gap. I didn't want it to be everybody operating in a silo. So I've pivoted my career to where I work with companies. I do their taxes. I don't have to do their taxes. I can do their bookkeeping. I don't have to. But to do advisory, to be that bridge between all the different aspects of accounting so that everybody's on the same page and moving towards the goals that the business owners and stakeholders want to move towards. So that's where my career has pivoted to.
So many things to unpack there. First off, I just love the fact that you just took the initiative to say, I could just imagine how that conversation went with your husband or boyfriend at the time when he found out that he hadn't done his taxes. I could just imagine how that conversation went, how unhappy you probably were, because my wife would probably be the same way. So I just love the fact that you took it upon yourself to say, okay, listen, I'm going to fix this for you. Never done it, but let's try. So I just love that you took the initiative. I love the fact that as a leader and an HR guy, I love the fact that you brought in the taxes to get some help and they actually offered you work. I love the fact that they didn't look at your resume, whatever, to see what your experiences were like as far as hard skills. They looked at your soft skills right away. They saw your capabilities. They saw your initiative to try to do that. And that's amazing that they just decided, wow, we got to nab this person right away before they learn more and find somewhere else to work. It gave them the opportunity to hire you and then train you and develop you into the employee that they like to have in their company. So I just love that. And I love the fact that you saw a gap in just taxes and companies and stuff like that. And I do agree with you. People just think, and that's why I wanted to have this discussion today. I do think people's all accountant, like you said, they have this stigma like, oh, it's just about this, it's just about that. But you have to deal with, especially if you're accounting in a company, you have to deal with different departments. You have to deal with different leadership in different facets. And there is leadership in accounting. So it all fits in. It just, people just don't look at it that way.
Exactly. I think that so many people think that accountants just sit over in a corner and they are bean counters. And that's just not true. No. We are having conversations. We are driving people towards their goals. And that is super, super important to those of us who really love being a part of that conversation and having a seat at that table.
I love it. I love it. So why are leadership skills so important in accounting?
I think it's really important to define what leadership is and what we want out of leadership, because we often confuse leadership with the people in positions of power.
Right.
And I want to take a minute to say that I don't take that same philosophy. I believe that you can be a leader no matter what your role position is in a company. And so I just want to clarify and make sure that everybody understands when I say leadership, I really don't mean management per se. Now, sometimes leadership, especially in accounting, it is important, especially in a management position. But there are ethical obligations to being an accountant. There are people who are counting on you. If you are doing illegal or fraudulent things, that can cause lots of families to lose their livelihood. If you have some kind of hidden fraudulence in a company, lots of people are on payroll for that company. That can be very problematic. So the ethical obligations, and then you have the decision-making. People take accounting numbers or should be taking accounting numbers, and they're making decisions based on that. That's a lot of responsibility and accountability on the accounting department, on the accounting function, on the finance function. If those aren't accurate numbers, we're not making accurate decisions. Right now in the accounting industry, one of the big things is adaptability. Are we I'm so tired of hearing, are we going to be put out of business? Are we no longer going to have a job because of AI? Mm-hmm. That's never going to happen. Accountants, mm-hmm. hear me say, I don't think that is ever going to happen. But what it may do is take some of the day-to-day responsibilities you have and shift those. You're not going to be data entry anymore. There mm-hmm. are going to be bots and programs that can do that for you. So if that's all you're doing, you need to shift that into a strategic thinking. Right. So how do you shift your position to still be of value to a company? Because data entry is going to be done automatically. So in that, leadership skills and really being able to look towards the future is mm-hmm. such an important part of the accounting function when it comes mm-hmm. to leadership.
Wow, so much to unpack here. First off, I love when you're talking about personal information and stuff like that. So I agree with you. I definitely think a leader will make sure that the policies, procedures, and confidentiality are forthright within the organization or within the department. So I agree with you there. I agree with you 100% as far as leadership goes. I always say to people, leadership comes in different forms. A business owner is a leader. I feel like the coworker that you sit beside is a leader. You talked about the Red Raiders. The coach on that team is a leader. It comes in so many different forms. I think that people just look at leadership and then they put it in a certain category and they feel like that category is the only category that it should go in, and it's not. And I think because it comes in different categories, a lot of people will not think that they are, but in reality, when you look at stuff and you think back of stuff that you did or you've done in your past, you are a leader. I'll probably age myself here, but I remember being a kid in school and playing follow the leader. That's a leadership skill. Talking with my friends in daycare, and one of us is, okay, why don't we do this today? Why don't we color this? And then after, we're going to play this game. And then after, maybe we'll read a book. That's a leader. That's one of my classmates taking on a leadership skill to decide what everybody in the group is going to do. So I think we just forget about that. And because we forget about it, we find it hard to reignite ourselves back into it.
100%. And in the accounting industry, you may have multiple people, if you have a big team, doing the same job. The right. leader may look like, hey guys, I have an idea on how we can do this differently, more efficiently, more effectively. Can we try this? Leadership may just be having an idea and having right. the courage to say, can we try this?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm sure you see it in accounting where people like, can we try this? Oh, no, we've done it before. This is how we've always done stuff. We're going to stick to the way that we're doing it. And you mentioned a key word here before, which is adaptability. And I think that just because something didn't work 5 years ago doesn't mean it didn't work. But if you put a little adaptability into it and maybe say, okay, let's just do a little bit of a structure, figure things out here, and then we'll try it in a different way and see how it works. But if we continue to say it's never going to work, then we're never going to try anything and we're never going to learn. So what are some of the toughest challenges facing finance professionals leadership today? So I know we delved in a little bit, but let's dig deep in the air here and let's get into those.
Okay, so that outdated mindset. So exactly what you're saying in terms of we've always done it this way, or we tried something different 5 years ago. When you say that, I would hope that maybe your people have changed in 5 years. And I don't necessarily mean that you've fired and hired new people, but I would hope that in 5 years, they've digged in and gained new skills that they didn't have 5 years ago when you tried something, that they have gotten a deeper understanding of systems, processes, procedures, and now they have more insights into why it didn't work before, and they can see those pitfalls and fill in the gaps now. So when you say, we tried that exact thing 5 years ago, technology has changed, your people have changed, their training, their education, it has changed. we should have a deeper understanding of things we didn't have 5 years ago. Maybe you have hired somebody new and they do have creative insights. Maybe they've been at a company that did something that did work just like that. So there are so many things in that outdated mindset that really we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're not giving ourselves a chance to succeed because from the beginning, we're saying it can't be done.
And so get so many things back there. One of the things, first off, I want to say is I agree with you 100%. You hope as a leader that your team evolves. If we're just saying, oh, I know this, I know that, but I don't want to. Some people are like that, Amanda. Some people, and I'm sure you see it in the accounting industry, some people are like that. They say, okay, no, this is what I know. This is what I do. I come in at 8. I finish at 5. This is what I do. Don't give me any extra work. I don't want to be a manager. I don't want this. I don't want that. I just want to come in, do my data sheets on an Excel sheet at 5 o'clock, clock out, go home. There are some people like that, and that's okay. But the ones that do want to, you hope that they will grow to develop into more advanced employees so that they have a deeper understanding of their role and a deeper understanding of the changes. And I love that word, adaptability, adapting to the changes. They have the ability to adapt. The leader comes in or manager says, hey, this is a new process. This is what we're going to be doing. We're going to implement this in the next 6 months. Being able to adapt to that, or oh, this, we've been using this old spreadsheet before, but now we're going to use this one. And then people are like, oh my God, I never used that before. How am I going to do that? The ones that are able to adapt to it go, oh, no problem. We'll figure it out. It's going to work. We'll make it work. We'll learn it. I'll help you. That's all part of things for sure. So everything there just hit a chord with me for sure.
And I just want to touch on a lot of business owners or managers are taught that if people don't want to move up in the company, if they don't want to overinvest their time, if they don't go above and beyond their job, that's a bad thing. And I'm going to challenge that. It's not a bad thing. You need the people who know the in and outs of their job and get it done. Yeah. And so even those people are necessary on a team. They're the backbone of the team, right? They're the workhorse getting it done. So I've seen that a little bit in discussing with owners, CEOs, COOs. They don't want to move up. They must not be invested in my company.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not necessarily what that means. Don't take it as a bad thing. No. Take it as they're good. They're happy where they are. And not everybody has to want to be a manager.
No.
That's just not where we're going.
No. And that's the mindset of a lot of leaders today, Amanda, is that they feel that when they take on an employee, they feel that their job is to develop growth in everybody on their team so that they move up. And I agree with you 100%. Not everybody's like that. My idea is your job as a manager is to make sure that your employees or your team have a safe work environment that they can come into and leave at 5 o'clock and have no thoughts of their job. That's your job. But if just because, like you said, they don't want to take that manager position that you want them to take, it doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It just means that they are happy doing what they're doing. And I 100% agree with you. You need those people because the ones that move up are not going to want to do the things that the people that are doing that they want to keep doing. So you have to remember that everybody's at a different level. And as a manager, you have to realize that everybody's different. Everybody's motivated differently. And once you understand that, your team will see that in you and there will be a lot more trust and respect amongst your team.
Oh, I 100% agree with that. I think it is really important that you say as a manager what you think is important. I personally cannot leave at 5 o'clock and not think about work anymore. And if I had a manager who encouraged me to do that, it would stress me out. I would be horribly miserable. I think the important thing about the manager, and I say this cautiously, is to not make people do something they don't want to do.
Right.
Now, when I say that cautiously, what I mean is, yes, we want to push people out of their comfort zones and get them to grow, but we don't want to do that by asking them to do something they're 100% opposed to doing.
Nope, for sure.
So we want to respect them, or should be respecting them, as people, as individuals. So we should be empowering people to control their own career as management and as leaders.
And I agree 100% on that. So if I was your manager, Amanda, and you told me, hey, I am one of those people that thinks about stuff when I'm home, and that was my job to know that about you, and I would not push that to say, Amanda, forget about work. Go spend time with your husband and your kids. My job is to understand that's the type of employee that you are. And my response to that would be, listen, Amanda, I know you are someone who thinks about work. If there is anything, or if you have any concerns while you're at home, please come and see me in the office and we can discuss them. And it's a different way of looking at it, but at least knowing your employees individually, and that comes from building rapport with them, you will know the ins and outs of them, and you won't force them to do something, like you said, that they don't want to do.
Or aren't capable of doing. That's what I say when I can't turn it off at 5 o'clock. Right. I have my best thoughts cooking dinner for my family or doing something where I've taken a break. And so for me, if you say, just don't think about it, that's all my brain focuses on. Just don't think about it. And I'm like, now I'm thinking about it all the time because you told me not to think about it. And I think that's what I mean when I say knowing what their personality is.
Right.
Yes, we want you to go home and spend time with your family. Yes, 100%. But what about the people who don't want to go home and spend time with their family? They don't have a family. So this kind of leads into that second toughest challenge, I would say, in the industry, is knowing what works for one doesn't necessarily work for all. So being open to flexibility, adaptability, giving people some structure, because I think that structure is important. And when I'm talking about some structure, I've walked into companies, I've walked into public accounting firms who give zero training. I've walked into firms that give very little training. They train you on a software, but that's all. They have you read their handbook and expect you to know what they want as a company.
Right.
They give you policies and procedures and tell you, here you go, you're on your own. And so if you don't learn in those ways, do those things work for you? No. If you, and I'm going to be really honest, once you write a policy, how often does it get updated? They don't normally get updated. And what kinds of things, if you've written a step-by-step procedure, okay, you might have written that when you didn't have the best idea of how things should be done.
Right.
Even if I write a policy, you click here, then you click this, then you click this. If that policy was written 3 years ago, has the software changed? Mm-hmm. Have they made better efficiencies in the software where you don't have to click 8 times to do something now? It's only 3.
Right.
You can still do it in 8 clicks the old way, but have we updated it for new efficiencies that have been put in place?
Right.
So when I see this kind of tug of war in accounting where people are either so lax, they don't tell you what to do, or they give you such detailed instructions that you feel like you can't deviate. And so in accounting, we call lots of things, if it doesn't fit the normal, it's called an outlier. And we have huge extremes. And I'm going, hey, guys, can we make things less extreme? Can we just give a little guidance and then be able to ask for help? Can we train people? Can we make sure they have all the tools necessary for what they need? Mm-hmm. And we don't really do that.
I just love everything there. What I want to know now, after we've delved into everything here, what is the future for leadership and accounting?
I really think we're seeing a huge shift in this right now. I think that you have people who are coming into the industry. A lot of people would kill me for not mentioning, so I'm going to mention there is a shortage of accountants.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so especially becoming CPAs. So there's a huge education commitment, the testing, the financial commitment. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. And we're an overworked and underpaid and very undervalued and underappreciated industry. I'm just going to be really completely honest. And so we see this new generation of accountants coming in to shake that up. They're challenging some of the education requirements. They are saying, I don't want to work 70, 80, 90 hour work weeks. We don't have to do that. And I think that the future of that is coming. I think it takes a bit to get there. We know that change doesn't happen overnight, but there really is going to be a shakeup in the way that the accounting industry operates as the older generations continue to retire. We don't want to do what they've always done. We don't want to work those long hours. I think I saw somebody say that they were charging $400 a year for a tax return. And that's just not, they don't change it for inflation. They don't charge more for their knowledge, their experience, their efficiencies. They are stagnant. And we're going, hey, no, we still invest in ourselves. We invest in continuing education every year. We invest in learning new tax strategies. We invest in learning new operational strategies or whatever it is. We're not going to not charge you more for all of our expertise and experience. Mm-hmm. And so I am very hopeful for the future of the accounting industry. But right now we're going through this. We have two generations and we do things completely differently.
So you mentioned there's a shortage with accountants. That's interesting to me. So you mentioned a few things, the schooling, accountants are overworked and overpaid, which I could see that. Would you say that those are like the main reasons for shortage, or have people lost interest in becoming accountants? What do you see?
I don't necessarily think people have lost interest per se. I think that there's not really a reward for doing it. Okay. So unless you are driven by long hours, not being home for dinner, being underappreciated, overworked, and underpaid, which I don't know anybody off the top of my head that I could check off all those things and they say, yes, that's what I want. I think that people are still driven. When you become an accountant, normally you think in accounting. Let's go back to my bio. I had no idea that I would be an accountant when I was making math problems with a clock. I had no idea that would be my dream. Another thing, I don't think that we tell people about the possibilities of the accounting world. We right. still have that mentality. Mm-hmm. And I even alluded to having it myself, but we're bean counters. Or like I said about myself, I thought that we only did taxes. And so what if you don't want to do tax? We don't talk about audit. We don't talk about industry accounting. We don't talk about governmental accounting. We don't talk about doing advisory services. Mm-hmm. We talk so much about compliance. And I'm going to be honest. Compliance just isn't sexy. It doesn't draw people in.
And I could see, too, that, you know, again, we're talking leadership as well. I could see, like you said, there's new people coming in. We mentioned earlier in the episode that leaders come in different shapes and forms. And I think the new people coming in, either if you are a leader, to make those changes and look at that. So it becomes a little bit more interesting for people to get into, that they don't have to work those long hours, or setting up a teams of people. I've never been an accountant, but I've been on a team where somebody's behind and everybody's getting ready to leave, and Susie's staying behind because she's got a few things to do. So everyone's saying goodnight. And they're like, oh, Susie, are you staying? And she's like, yeah, I'm behind and I need to catch up. And then I've seen the team literally, like, all we've all taken our jackets off and say, okay, well, if Susie's staying, we're going to stay. Okay, Susie, tell me what you need to do and let's help you so that you can go home earlier and we can all go home together. And I think that's might be something that maybe a lot of accounting departments don't have. It's more the one person's got to stay, well, then they stay.
Oh, yeah. So I've definitely worked in positions where I can think of multiple times, month end close, where we were, I'm good. My part of the job is done, but somebody else's isn't. And they're coming in on Saturday. But I'm the manager of the department. And they're like, it's okay, I'll see you on Monday. And I'm going, no, if you're in the office, I'm in the office. We're in this together. If you need something, I'm here.
Yep.
And so, one, I wish that we could have never been in that position. I would love to have been the manager that says, if you want to leave at 5, it doesn't matter if it's done or not, we can get to it. Right. Sometimes it's not always possible.
No.
But just being the one to jump in and really say, nope, I'm in this with you. I'm in the trenches with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Yeah. And I think too, because I'll be frank here, some people are afraid, Amanda, to say if they're behind because they're worried about what the consequences could be. But if they're in an environment where they feel comfortable and safe, as I talked about a safe work environment earlier, if they feel safe, where you are comfortable to go to your leader and say, hey, I'm behind. I'm going to do my best today to catch up, but just want to let you know where I'm at. And then that leader come into play saying, come and see me at lunchtime. And if you're still behind, maybe I can get Johnny and Sarah to come and give you a hand. So that it's Friday, let's all go home at 5 o'clock today, rather than everybody leaving. And like I said earlier, Susie's still staying there because she has to finish. If she was more comfortable with the environment, she would have went to see her boss first thing. And then it's going to be a way different scenario.
I 100% agree. And I think that you talk about safety, and I love that you bring in safety to this. Because yes, we need them to be safe physically. We need them to be safe financially, but we also need them to be safe in a mental health way.
Right.
And so I think that's a lot of what you're talking about. Is my job at risk if I say I'm behind? Am I going to get written up? Am I going to get terminated? Right. Am I going to be talked about? Am I going to be every example in the meeting saying that I'm not where I need to be? Am I going to be called out publicly for being behind?
Right.
And so I think, honestly, a lot for me as a leader, and what I'm hoping more leaders will take from that, is that we should know and have a thumb on the heartbeat of our departments and know without them having to ask. We should be an engaged leader. Yes, I want them to feel comfortable coming to me, but maybe that's not their personality. And this goes back to knowing your people and knowing all of those things. Right. And again, when we talk about leadership, it is a lot of responsibility.
Right.
Stepping into a leadership and or a management role, I would hope that all managers would be leaders, but we know that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But when you walk into that role, you have a responsibility to the people working with and for you. Yep. And so I would just encourage people to stay present with their team versus just expecting communication to be a one-way transfer of information. Yep. That's my challenge to leaders out there. Stay involved.
I love that you said all that. I mean, quite simply, just a quick check-in. Beginning day, how's everything going? How's the day going? How is the workload? Anything we can help you out with today? Have you taken a break today? Have you taken lunch today? Have you gone for a walk to unwind your brain? Those are questions that you need to go and check. So I agree with you. I think both parties have the responsibility to do those things. And like I said, if we can get there, you're going to see such a more friendly environment for yourself, for sure. If you could choose one word to describe yourself, Amanda, what word would that be?
I had to think of this longer than I should have. Boiling myself down to one word is a lot of pressure, if I'm going to be honest. But this word, I think, really defines a huge part of what I am and what I believe. And that is proactive. Oh, I believe in being proactive.
I love that. I love that for you. Just from our conversations, I think that's a perfect word for you. I've also watched videos of you as well. And that is, I don't think you could come up with a better word. I think that's a perfect word for you.
Thank you. I believe you see a need, you feel a need. And so I just really, that was the one that I could say, yep. I'm good. You don't have to call me kind or nice like you did. You can just call me proactive.
You are those things as well. I definitely give you genuine as well. I definitely think you're a very genuine individual. You're very much like me. What is what you get. And I just love that about people. And I think that's why we got along over our time, is because we both see that each other. So I think that's where our rapport building has come into play here. Any final thoughts today?
Oh, final thoughts. I'm going to sum it up with this. Remember that to be a leader, you do not have to be in a specific role in a specific number of years in your career. You can be just starting out and still choose to be a leader. Leadership is the way you carry yourself, the way you think of others. It is much more than a position, a title, a number of years in your career. So you have the ability to shape, and I know this is geared towards accounting, you have the ability to shape your industry, your families, the people you work with, the client. There's a ripple effect to leadership that we really just don't give enough kudos to. So I would encourage you to think about how much you really are changing the world by being a leader.
I love all that. Amanda, I want to take the time to thank you for coming on today. You've said some amazing, impactful things. I've enjoyed this conversation immensely. I think it was a great conversation. I think it was a needed conversation. I loved it because it was a different conversation. It's not something that you would hear often, or combining the two. And that's what I loved about it. And I love the fact that you as an individual, we talk about leaders, and I love how you carry yourself as an individual, as a leader. And I could see how people are drawn to you and want to work with you because of that. Thank you for coming on today and having this great conversation with me.
Thank you so much for having me and for having this space. I love that you talk about leadership so much. I really appreciate that we're, as a community, a society, really changing the way that we look at these things. So also, kudos to you, Andrew. Thank you for having this conversation and being willing to start a podcast and talk about these things, because it really is impactful.
I appreciate that. On behalf of myself and my guest Amanda, I'd love to thank you all for joining today. Until next time, be safe, and remember, everyone, that if we all work together, we can accomplish anything.
You have been listening to Let's Be Diverse with Andrew Stout. To stay up to date with future content, hit subscribe.